Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and I'm here today with Becky McNeely, Kate Hutchcraft, who are live, and then zoomed in is Brianna Scroggins. How's it going over there?
Good. Finally, we're here.
Yay. So what have you guys been up to today?
I just busted into Becky's house today and hung out with her kids and ate a bunch of her food, and Audrey and I had a good time.
Good. And I got to be there for a little bit of it. I work at my brother's sometimes. So I worked at my brother's today doing filing stuff, paperwork stuff, whatever they need me to do, carrying car parts kind of stuff. That's about it. Came home. But I've been on a kick this week where I'm actually getting my meals done early in the mornings for supper, prepped early in the morning. I go on kicks with this where I will, like, always do my supper after breakfast. And the past few days I've done that, and I like it so much better. So tonight we're having soup that's in the Instapot, and I got bread in the oven right now, which reminds me I didn't tell Jared to take that out when the timer goes on.
I started prepping our lunches or our dinners after lunch, and something about that, because that's our quiet time for the kids. So both of my girls are napping during that time, and then Jack is usually reading quietly or playing Legos or, you know, some kind of quiet reading kind of activity. And so it makes it a perfect pocket for me to go ahead and get dinner prepped and done. And then that way, if we have a, you know, wobbly evening or something come up, it's already ready to go, and it's not, minimizes all that crunch in the evening sometimes.
I like that too. But I like to read in the afternoon.
True.
But I usually end up folding laundry instead.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did today. I folded all of our laundry and I decorated for fall.
Woo!
Oh, I'm jealous.
I'm so behind.
I was telling Kate today that I want to decorate for fall so badly, but this week it's just been like one thing after another, and every day I'm like, today's the day. I'm decorating for fall today. It doesn't happen. And then I showed Kate today. I was like, do you like how I decorated for fall? Because I was talking to her on the phone yesterday, telling her I was decorating, and I literally got to cleaning off my mantle, and then something happened and I had to stop. And she's like, where's your fall stuff?
Like, exactly.
My mantle is clean and that's it. I need leaves.
The last couple seasons, I have taken a day where I just, one day is just putting everything away and dusting. I don't even try to decorate that day. And then the next day or whenever I get to it is the day that I just put everything up on a fresh slate. And I like that so much better than trying to take everything down. And then you have multiple totes. You have the tote of things that go back in the attic and the tote of things that come down, and it's messy and people are in all the totes. So I've been liking that a whole lot better. I'm just, one day is taking it all down and cleaning, and then the next day is putting it up. So
it's really smart.
Anyway, we are going to be talking about postpartum today. So this is a time in women's lives that it is important to have help and intentionality. So we thought we would just go over a lot of things as it pertains to postpartum. And Becky, before we started, was like, should we narrow this down? I was like, no, just say everything you want to say.
Rapid fire.
Well, maybe we're just going to rapid fire say a lot of things about after you have a baby. Go. Who's starting? Bree, you were the one actually that mentioned this topic, so maybe you should start out.
Oh, I did? I don't even remember. It's probably because I was postpartum when we first started doing the podcast, all four of us together. Well, technically, I'm still postpartum because Belle is not even 9 months yet, and I feel like postpartum is way longer than what people typically believe that it is.
What is it? What is the amount of time that is considered postpartum?
It's argued. Some people argue that it's like the first 6 months. Some people argue that it's what, like the first 6 weeks. Like, that's not true.
There's some research I saw that said something about 2 years is the threshold for when your body starts to actually, a lot of people start to feel normal. Their minerals aren't depleted anymore. They're more nourished.
Uterus in the right spot.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that, not to downplay it, because I've had obviously very different postpartum recoveries with each child, but I wonder how much of that is nutrition based versus is the mother having the baby and then expecting to just bounce right back and go right back into, okay, I'm going to eat as normal. I'm going to drink as normal. I'm going to do everything as normal. When that's a time, it's a sacred time to be like nourished well and to be mindful about the kinds of foods that you're eating and how your body is resting. So I wonder with that, with the 2 year threshold, is that taking into consideration a woman nourishing and caring for her body well, resting when she needs to rest, that kind of thing? Or is it a power through, go back to work in 6 weeks,
right?
You're back to normal, quote unquote, you're cleared, so you're fine.
And
kind of mentality.
I do think so. For me, I would say arguably for the better part of a year and a half, I was postpartum in every aspect. And I think a lot of it was because my body was kind of in a crisis mode, survival mode from full-time work, full-time school for so long. So I think some of it probably goes into how are you entering pregnancy? Like, is your body, I felt great during pregnancy, but then I think birth was my body's final, like, woo, we are tired, just because cortisol, you know, when cortisol's high and when you're running ragged for so many years and doing, you know, or whatever it is, I think that can also feed into it too. Like, are you going into pregnancy nourished and rested and low cortisol and as much as you can control that?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. I have this book, Real Food Pregnancy by Lily Nichols. You have this, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you have this one?
No, but I've heard that.
Brie, do you have Real Food Pregnancy by Lily Nichols, this book?
I don't have it, but I've looked at it a couple times.
A lot of my stuff is from this book, but in there she talks about how research indicates that a lot of postpartum depression is due to your depletion during pregnancy and then not taking time to replenish afterwards. So, you know, you don't think about like, oh, I'm having anxiety or depression or these different issues as being linked to maybe I'm mineral deficient.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think that because it feels like your emotions and your feelings in your brain. It's like, how is that connected to mineral stores in my body? But it totally is.
Absolutely.
And when you are depleted in these ways, it can mess with your hormones, which messes with your emotions and your pituitary gland and the cycle in your body that's supposed to be functioning in a certain way. And then when you're depleted, there's roadblocks and it just can't work. So, yeah, I think this time should be sacred. It should be well thought out and spending time nourished as much as possible. So let's see. I have the first 3 months is kind of what I focused on.
It's like the fourth trimester.
Yes, yeah. Fourth trimester is kind of what I focused on in my notes. But I don't think that is the entire postpartum period by any means. I don't think your body is recovered at that point. But I do think that that's probably the most important of your postpartum journey, of those first 3 months after giving birth. It's not only crucial for healing, but also for establishing breastfeeding, getting your family into a new rhythm, and taking time to rest and nourish your body, nurse, and just cuddle a baby. I think is the only, pretty much everything in your life should take a backseat to those things for the first 3 months as you can. And I know that there are things, and especially if you have other kids, sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you have to do the other things. But as much as it is possible, I think you should have those priorities and be okay with saying no to the other things. Quick break in the episode to tell you about a company that I'm really excited about. They're called the Peony Pop. Peony Pop is a Christian company that creates sweatshirts for women. Their goal is to help support the nations and help you share the gospel with others. Their designs are embroidered, bright, and fun. Follow along on Instagram at the Peony Pop for sneak peeks of new arrivals that are coming soon. And you can use the code FRUITFUL15 at checkout for 15% off your order. That's FRUITFUL15.
I think that's good. I think too, like what you were saying, as someone who's had health struggles for a couple of years now, as far as like the depression and anxiety being linked to your deficiencies or your health, it's so important that people will view that as like holistically. Like, yes, sometimes if you're depressed or anxious, that can be the root of your health issues physically. But so many times, I don't think people realize that physically, if they're not eating well, if they're not, you know, taking care of their bodies, then like you said, that postpartum depression is probably going to go up. That anxiety is probably going to go up if they're not taking care of their bodies well before, during, and after pregnancy. And it's never too late to get better at it.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have to pause, but I have to go take the lid off of my bread.
Okay.
Jared did not respond to my text.
Okay, just,
I got to do it right
now. He just liked it.
He just
responded.
Look,
sorry.
I do got you, girl.
Okay.
It lit up right as you were walking.
Okay, just kidding. We don't have to pause.
So what are some vitamins, supplements, foods, things you do to take care of your body postpartum? That would be a good thing to mention.
I have written down bone broth, organ meats, seafood, eggs, warm soups, herbal teas, milky drinks, sunshine. Mm-hmm. Those and sleep, as much sleep as you can possibly get. I got pre-laughed. But this is a time where you should not feel guilty for asking your husband on his day off if you can take a nap.
Right.
And I hopefully your husband cares about your health. And these are conversations that you have before you have a baby. Mm-hmm. Before you have the baby, you have the conversations like, hey, I've been reading a lot about this. This is what I've seen. Like, if I can get some extra rest, some extra nutrients, some extra like nutrient dense foods, can we be on the same page about this? And, you know, agree to a game plan before you have the baby, so that after the baby's here and you say something like, hey, is this a good time for me to go squeeze in a nap? You guys are on the same page. So those are my things. I take a postnatal vitamin after I give birth and continue taking it the entire time that I'm breastfeeding.
Which one do you like?
I've tried a few different ones. I hesitate to say brands.
Okay. Because I tried one postpartum with Juniper, and then there was a separate one I took postpartum with Elsie, and I liked one better than the other, but neither were like it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. I hesitate to say brands on most things because as sure as enough as I say it, they will change something and it will no longer be good for people. So I am always hesitant to be like, this is the one. But do your research and read up on it and then find the one that works best for your body, because what would work best for my body may not work best for someone else's too. So I do. I typically run a little anemic most of my pregnancies. And that's something that I have to focus on. I like to get that from a non-synthetic source. So I do like blood builder sometimes.
Yeah.
So those are some of mine. What about you guys?
I think the biggest thing is realizing that you have to prepare for postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you have to plan for. Because when I first had Jack, we had the nursery ready. I spent so much of my pregnancy focusing on, okay, well, what diapers are we going to use? And what about this? And how are we going to do this? And which sleep sack do I use? And really, all of those things are, I won't say they're not important. They are important. And there are things to look into and consider for sure. And Brandon and I have said time and time again, going from zero babies to one baby is the most intense transition because you're learning everything.
Yeah.
Whereas when you add on, not that there aren't still shifts and things to adjust to as your family grows, because going from two to three can be a little bit tricky because you're outnumbered then all of a sudden, you know, and things like that. But the hardest is figuring out, like, you know, at the beginning, figuring out, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to do these things? But I didn't prepare at all for postpartum with Jack. And so when the emotions came in and I struggled, we lost our first baby when I was about 11 weeks pregnant. And so anxiety and depression skyrocketed after I had Jack, and I wasn't emotionally prepared for that. I didn't realize how Jack's birth would impact those emotions because I was, you know, a year or two post miscarriage. And so it kind of took me by surprise a little bit. And then looking back on my postpartum with him, I'm going, okay, I was eating
ice cream.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I'm just very hungry. And I was
in your hungry, and I just grabbed whatever I could. And I went back to work at, gosh, 8 or 9 weeks postpartum, when I was still, and I was still in a point where I was terrified to drive with him in the car because I thought something bad was going to happen. Like, that's where my anxiety was. And I hadn't prepared at all for that postpartum period. And looking back, I should have been in looking into, okay, how do I care for my body postpartum? Because in my mind, I had seen people, ladies who had quote unquote bounced back, mm-hmm. and thought, oh, well, you know, if I work out postpartum, I'm going to be fine. I'm just going to bounce back and I'll be fine. And I can do what I was doing before I had a baby and I'll be fine. And that's not what happened. So I think preparing for it ahead of time, being okay with accepting help.
Yeah.
And God sent me a curveball, a humble curveball with that this last postpartum, because I had some complications 2 weeks postpartum, which I was not prepared for. And being okay with saying, hey, I need somebody to come watch the kids, or so that I can take a nap and rest and recover, or I'm struggling with this and I need some help here, or things like that. So being okay with accepting help. And one thing that I did this time with Elsie that I wish to my soul I would have done with Jack and with June, because with June, I thought it was wise to move 2 weeks postpartum. 0 out of 10 recommend that. But is spending, and this is what my doula said. She said, spend 5 days in the bed postpartum, 5 days on the bed postpartum, and then 5 days around the bed postpartum. And I had never done that before until this time. And this time I, with complications, I had a longer bed rest. But doing that, even with complications, I still felt better than I did just jumping right back into life with the other two. And that's just something that my sister is my doula. And that's something that Megan said she just recommends universally, is 5 days in, 5 days on, 5 days around. And you kind of, like you said, the rest, even if you're awake, because I have two older children. So even if you're awake and you're just watching them play, it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. just let go of everything else. Mm-hmm. Let your expectations fall by the wayside. If people are bringing you a meal and your house is messy, it's totally fine. Nobody's looking around going, wow, Maggie's kids have so many toys out right now. Mm-hmm. I think June put on every dress-up outfit she owned within the first 2 days of me being home from the hospital. And it was just princess things everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. My house isn't like that daily now. And just knowing that it's just for a season, yeah. and you need to focus on what's most important, which is, like you said, warm, nourishing foods, herbal teas. Some that I've found helpful are lemon balm tea, because it kind of calms that anxiety mm-hmm. feeling. Lemon balm tea, nettle tea, because it's so rich in minerals and mm-hmm. nutrients that your body needs. And there's no caffeine in it, so you can just drink it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's going to mess with mm-hmm. anything. And then also for me, since I am prone to anxiety and depression postpartum, I have started taking evening primrose oil mm-hmm. right off the bat. Mm-hmm.
A quick break in our episode to tell you about the Kings Ridge elderberries. This cold and flu season, supplement with elderberry syrup from the Kings Ridge and help push back the curse. Made from cold press American black elderberries grown right on their farm in East Central Indiana, their products are simply the best. Antioxidant and vitamin-rich elderberries have been shown to help bolster the immune system and lower the chance of getting the flu. Use promo code FRUITFUL and get 10% off your first order to try their delicious elderberry syrup. Find them and follow along on Instagram and Facebook at the Kings Ridge Elderberries.
It's just a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Has to be there. And I continue taking that for an extended period, even past the fourth trimester, really through that first year, because it's not going to hurt my body to take it. But there have been some times where I've thought, oh, I'm fine. I don't need this anymore. And Brandon will come up to me very sweetly and be like, hey, have you been taking mm-hmm. like, no, why? And he's like, I can tell. You might want to make sure you're doing that again. So things like that are helpful.
Another thing I wrote down was that we are made for community. Like, it's yeah. within us. The way that God created us is that we're made for community. So this is a great time to fall back on that. And in times that you are not postpartum or not needy yourself, giving that
assistance to people around you and being a part of community in that way, so that whenever you are in need, mm-hmm. it is given back to you. Mm-hmm. And not that we do it tit for tat, because, you know, that's not right either.
Right.
But just knowing that as you're sowing into your community, like, that you will reap.
That's just kind of the ebb and flow of community.
Yeah.
How it goes. Yeah.
One thing I kind of highlighted was the sleep component, because you don't always get a lot of it. And it can be kind of an anxiety, or at least for me, it was an anxiety-inducing thing.
Like, yeah, I wonder if you could die from lack of sleep.
Yes.
My first, I'm like, will I eventually die from this?
Stroke. And then I was also, it was like when the house was quiet, Ben was asleep, unless he was, you know, on duty in those first week or two. It was a lot of me alone for a long time at night, up nursing a baby. And I had to just meditate over and over and over on scripture. And one scripture I wrote down was Psalm 127, 2. And there's more to the verse, but it ends with, he gives to his beloved sleep. And
I pray that all the time. I pray that same scripture.
There is no sense in me sitting up, stewing over XYZ, watching her breathe, what have you. And I just had to lay my anxieties down at his feet every night, because I knew, and I would wait, and the sun would start to come up, because it was summertime. Mm-hmm. So the sun would start to come up at 5, and I was like, if I can just make it till 5. And I had a lot of hormone imbalances, and I don't, obviously not everybody deals with that. But there was just a lot of first-time mom anxiety, and, well, you know, what if this, and what if that, and all these things that never came to fruition. But one thing that I think it was Rachel Jankovic, she said in one of her books, maybe Loving the Little Years, such a good book, but she said something about throwing the clock out. If you're constantly focusing on, well, I've been
what time is it?
She's like, it doesn't matter. You're up when you need to be. You're surviving.
Yeah.
You know, just
stop counting how many times you were up, how many hours it was the last time you were up.
You're doing what you need to do.
Yeah.
You're doing your work unto the Lord.
And there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes,
like
there is.
Now with our fourth. Bree, you'll have to see if you feel like this or not, but I don't know. Sleep's just not as big of a deal.
Yes.
You just have it. So when you do have it, it's like, oh, thanks, Lord.
It's just kind of like, you know, I feel kind of fine.
I honestly feel like now, after all these years, I run better off of 6 hours of sleep. And every time I tell someone that, they're like, that is not healthy. That is not good for you. I was like, if it was not healthy and not good for you, God would not have given us children. Because,
yeah, I think I said that in one of our other episodes, where I was sleeping more now, and it took my body a time of adjustment, because it was like, what? This is not what we do.
Yeah, this is not our normal. Hey, on that thread, though, I will say, we're talking about sleep. I, like, with Anora, she was an awful sleeper. She's my first, like, awful, to the point that she was waking every 2 hours for the first year and a half of her life. And then finally we hit a breakthrough. That's another story for another time. But I was definitely like counting the clock, always looking, knowing she's always waking up at 2 hours. Like, how can we quit this? And then when Evangeline came, my second born, she was naturally just a better sleeper from the get-go, but Mason's dad, my husband's dad, was diagnosed with cancer, and very, very severe cancer. He should have died. It's an amazing testimony. The Lord healed him. He's alive. He's well. You'd never know he had cancer. But he got diagnosed with cancer, I think a day or two, I think it was day two of my postpartum. So I came home from the hospital with my new baby, and my father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. And so my husband had to be with his dad in that time. Like, his dad was literally dying. They were flying him down to Texas. My husband went to Texas. And I decided in that time to not look at my phone ever in the night, not once. Like, I was just, I'm not going to look at my phone when that baby wakes up. She needs me, and I'm going to pray. It was already hard enough to shut my mind down being postpartum and going through that. I'd also broken my tailbone in labor, so I was like almost disabled, couldn't move around very well. And she was really good. She would only wake typically, even from the get-go, she would sleep 3 hours, like a 3-hour stretch. So she would typically only wake 2 to 3 times in the night. But I made a point that those times when I was awake, I was going to pray. Mm-hmm. And then that was kind of a breakthrough for me, too. I also read Rachel Jankovic's book about throwing that clock out. And then from that point on, with all my kids, I just don't look at my phone very often at all. Don't look at social media. I make a point to use that time to pray. And that truly helps with the anxiety and the depression as well. And you feel closer to the Lord to the point that I almost now, Belle is a good sleeper. She sleeps through the night. I can say that and brag because I've had two who did not. But now I even miss those moments. Like, and I swore I would never miss waking up with a baby, but I truly miss the nighttime prayers that even now when I do get woken up, sometimes I will just get up to pray. And that's not my type of personality. I like my sleep.
Yeah, I think I forget sometimes that other people do different things when they nurse a baby at night. But yeah, don't ever look at your phone in the nighttime when you need to be sleeping, when you're waking up to nurse a baby. Like, keep it dark. And this is something that we've done, and I'll just brag on my husband because he's amazing, I guess. But so Jared, he can fall asleep literally in seconds. Like, there has been times before that he's been reading aloud to me and will fall asleep as he's reading aloud.
Mason too.
Yeah, he has the spiritual gift of falling asleep very, very easily. Like, if he is quiet, he's like go, go, go 1,000 miles an hour, but if he sits still, he's asleep. So from Ransom on, every one of our babies, if the baby wakes up in the night, he'll go and grab them out of the crib for me and bring them to me, because I'm the type of person, if I stand up or if my brain becomes too active, I'm awake for like 3 or 4 hours. So something that we've always done is he goes and gets the baby for me, hands them to me. I nurse them in our bed, lights off, like still in sleepy zone. My eyes are closed. I'll pray sometimes or just be sleepy and kind of in and out of sleep. And then when the baby's done nursing, I just tap him, and then he takes the baby back to the crib and then comes back and is instantly back asleep. And then I fall asleep really easily that way too. So it's just a rhythm that we have had. Like, please don't go to your husband and be like, listen to this idea. If that wouldn't work out well for your family. But that's something that we've always done that's worked so well. So yeah, maybe just like on a practical note, don't be turning lights on if you're nursing your baby. It's a bad idea. Don't be looking at your phone.
So I get one of those egg lights. We had an egg light this time around, so I didn't have to use like my flashlight. And you just tap it, and it has this really nice, just like candle color to it. You can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. Or there's like book lights that are the warm amber. Yes. We have those for our kids. Those are good too if you do need a light. Like, because I know in those first few weeks you got to change diapers and things.
So I'm actually opposite.
You turn a light on.
I have to turn a light on. I have to turn a light on. And what Brandon and I have a system that we figured out, and it works like clockwork, and it's beautiful because he is similar to Jude, where he can go right back to sleep. It doesn't bother him. I take a second to wake up, and if I'm trying to nurse a baby while I'm half asleep or in a dark room, I will instantly fall back asleep, even if I'm nursing a baby, and then I'll wake up an hour or two later and like still holding the baby.
What's the problem with that?
One, I can be too out, and then the baby's not like super secure, so they can be like sliding, and that scares me.
I was just going to say a funny, since this is a postpartum podcast, guys, just don't listen, I guess, if you think this is weird, but you and I don't have this problem because we have small boobs, but imagine big breasts would totally suffocate a child.
Yeah, I'm saying like maybe there is more hazards for other people, but so look it up, but it's, I forget what it's called, but it's like the safe mother position or something like that. And it's basically, if you're laying on your side with your knees bent and you have a baby nursing, it's impossible to roll over on top of them. Think about it. Like, you can't roll if your knees are bent and you're laying on your side. You don't just like roll like that.
True.
So please take this with a grain of salt. Everyone listening, I don't want to be responsible for anything, but just think about it. Like, there is some safe ways to do this if you're laying on your side and there's a baby next to you. And I'm way more cautious when my babies are newborn, but once they're like 3 months old, they would cry if I was.
I think you're right though, Jordan.
Okay.
Like, there's so much controversy between co-sleeping and not co-sleeping. And here's the thing, with four kids and with like the really weird things that I've experienced postpartum, I have co-slept with one of mine past a year old. And then I've also co-slept with one on and off. And then I've also had two that I never co-slept with. So I really just think, like what Becky is saying, it depends on the person. It depends.
I agree.
It depends.
It's like,
yeah,
your life and the baby.
And it changes month by month. Like you said, newborn, a little bit different. When they're a year old, they're probably not going to die, you know?
Yeah. They're probably going to smack you if you try to get on them.
I will say the system that Brandon and I
finish your story.
So we you're fine. So we have a system where he can wake up and be up and fine, but then he can also go to sleep really easy. I take a second to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know, and I've also had to add this caveat in there too, I've had troubles with breastfeeding and nursing and tongue ties, lip ties, all of those things. And so I kind of have sometimes, and my babies are big. We just have big babies. And so nursing a newborn who's 10 pounds, 2 ounces is a bit of a trick when they have a lip tie and a tongue tie.
Yeah.
You have to have them in this position. Yeah. And, you know, so what the system that we figured out is Brandon will get up and he'll change the baby's diaper. If they've, you know, peed through whatever, pooped through whatever, give them a new sleep set or a new little sleeper, swaddle them back up in their little sleep sack. And it gives me a second to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water. And then I go and sit in the nursery, which is just, you know, right next to our room. And so I'll go sit in the nursery. I have a comfy, thanks to the Lord, he provided a comfy nursing chair from Facebook Marketplace. And it has like one of those little glider ottomans that's with it. And I'll bring in a book, or sometimes I am on my phone and I have to be careful there because that is a slippery slope. Or I will just turn on, like, we have the little hatch night lights. And so I'll turn it on to like a warm color and just sit there and rock. But it's enough light for me to stay alert so that I'm not just passing right back out. And with some of ours, I would have to nurse, put the baby back down once the baby was done feeding, and then pump after. So sometimes I was just up already for an hour.
And that's not wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I just don't want to be fully awake to the point that I can't get back to sleep. But that's my body and biology and all that. So,
well, and on that note, I think it's important to not compare your postpartum journey with somebody else's.
Yes.
Because one, it's really easy to look at somebody from a distance and say, well, her body recovered far better than mine. You don't know her nutrient supplies.
Yeah.
you don't know her.
She's that island.
You have no idea, you know? And so don't compare. Again, we've said this before, but comparison is the thief of joy. Don't compare your postpartum recovery to somebody else's. And don't even compare your postpartum with one baby to your postpartum with another baby. Like my postpartum with June, I felt great enough to be buying a house and moving 2 weeks postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
With Elsie, I was in the hospital 2 weeks postpartum and then was extended bed rest for like 6 or 8 more weeks after that. And so you can't compare.
Yeah.
And I think too, just if you are currently pregnant and you're going into that postpartum season, let go of all of your expectations for what postpartum is going to be like. I made the mistake of telling my doula that with Elsie's, I prepared far better for Elsie's than I did Jack or June's. And so I thought, I told Megan, I said, you know, I think this is just going to be a really peaceful, really sweet postpartum. And it was a very sweet postpartum. It's not what I was expecting. And there was not a grief. It wasn't that severe, but there was this little bit of like, gosh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't what I had it in my head to be. So let go of the ideals, let go of the expectations, prepare for whatever you can and ask for God's grace to steward well, whatever you can't prepare for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also this is a time that your brain is really mushy. So it's a great time to lean into your husband.
Yeah.
For wisdom about things, and a time to not believe lies, not fall into fears, and say it out loud. I'm a big fan of saying it out loud to your husband. Like if you're concerned about something, say it out loud to him, because there's a chance that maybe it's irrational and he can tell you, nope, that's an irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to spend any more time thinking about that.
Right.
Or he could say, okay, that's legitimate. Let me help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great time to just not be in your head, because your head's a mushy place postpartum, whether it be hormone swings or just sleep deprivation or all the things we've talked about. So it's a good time to rely on your husband for help.
I think a good thing to do is to post scripture around your house.
Yeah.
If places that you're going to be nursing, put some scriptures up, specifically if you're struggling with postpartum anxiety or you're struggling with depression or you're struggling with learning to balance multiple children and things like that. Find a scripture that is encouraging and post it somewhere that you're going to see it a lot. So that as you're nursing the baby in the middle of the night, you're reflecting on God's word. You're not dumpster diving. You're not reflecting on things that are going to send you rabbit-holing to your poor husband who's going to wake up and be like, well, we have to get rid of all of these things in our home that could potentially lead to these other things.
I think we have mold in
all of everything. We need to buy all new mattresses now.
Drywall,
avocado,
tomorrow.
using that time, Bree, I love what you said about using that time to be in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent way to spend that time. Spending that time reading scripture or choosing the books that you're going to read postpartum wisely so that you're not reading something that's going to devastate a very sensitive heart and make you cry. Read something encouraging, read something uplifting, something that will spur you on in your walk, but not make you dumpster dive at 2 a.m. when you're nursing a baby.
Also, emotional swings are swings. They're dips. They're not permanent. So that's something that I've learned over the years is to be patient with my body. And if I'm having a real weird hormonal day, to know, okay, my body is made in a cyclical system. So this will eventually balance back out. If something's weird right now, give my body time, and it is made to balance out. You might have to give it help as it balances back out, but to be patient and not expect immediate heal.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that it's temporary and to be patient with yourself. But also, mental health is really important. So to take it seriously and to take the measures that you need to be healthy for your family.
And don't be afraid to tell a friend, or like you said earlier, your husband too, that you feel weird.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, hey, I feel weird right now. I'm having weird thoughts. Here's what they are. Detail them out. Because again, sometimes when you just hear them come out, you're like, oh, that is really ridiculous.
What happens to me a lot is when I say them out loud, I start to laugh. Mm-hmm. And then that's really good.
Yeah. I'm always comforted when I tell Brandon something that's going on in my head. I'll tell him, hey, this is what my thought is, especially postpartum. He's so kind and so good at checking in on me mentally and emotionally. He's like, where are you at? How are you doing? And I'm always comforted when he starts to laugh at me a little bit. And it's not like in a rude way or anything like that.
But just like, wow,
I giggle, like, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what you think is going to happen? Why do you think that? Where is the logical thing there? But when he starts to giggle, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yes. I'm fine. Things really are okay, and I need to take a beat.
Mm-hmm. I only have one child, and so one thing I'm doing to prepare for our next baby, Lord willing, is writing letters to myself to read.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, yes, but it will also help me reorient, because I just know that I'm probably going to have a little bit of hormone flux. You know, just there will be hormone fluctuation, maybe a little bit of anxiety again. And even though it probably will be a little easier in some aspects with a second child, I know I'm going to need reminders on taking rest when I need to. The laundry can sit there for a moment. You know, it's not the end of the world if I don't do laundry. I do need scripture. I need to sit down for that. I need to listen to it. Maybe I need a letter on when the baby gets sick for the first time. Jordan, I remember being so nervous for Audrey to get sick. And I said, Jordan, I'm really freaking out about Audrey getting sick for the first time. And you're like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And it was so practical. No, but that's what I needed in the moment as somebody that was a little unhinged postpartum, just a little bit anxious about everything. It was so helpful to have you as a friend just kind of pat me on the back and say, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get through it. You'll figure out the medicine. You'll figure out what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, for anybody listening who's not a mom or who hasn't gone down a non-toxic journey, directly postpartum, not the best time to enter that field of study. You'll want to get rid of everything in your home, burn the whole thing to the ground, throw out absolutely everything you own, all the clothes, all the cleaners. And that's just not a good time.
It's not a good time.
I remember specifically going through something where I was like, Ben, we've got to get rid of every cleaner. The laundry detergent has got to go. Like, we need all cotton clothing. Just,
I was linen,
you know,
that is bowls, organics,
only things allowed in here. And said, let's replace one thing at a time as it, you know,
right,
expires or you are done with it or.
Oh, that's
empty.
Yeah.
So anyway, for anyone listening, just maybe try to go down that journey a little bit before pregnancy if you can, or
during pregnancy or in between.
Or in between kids. One other thing I wrote down too is I had a C-section. It was an emergency C-section. It was unexpected. So I had zero preparation for a C-section recovery. And it wasn't really that big of a deal, but there were just some things I wish I would have known about. You know, just some practical tips. I could not get in and out of our bed for weeks because it was so, it's higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 30 hours of labor with a lot of ups and downs and Pitocin, and my body was kind of, things were not going well. And so Audrey came out perfectly fine, but it was a C-section. And so my body had just had it those first few weeks. And one thing I did was tied a rope to the end of the bed to help me.
Oh my gosh.
Because that ass were wrecked.
Yeah.
And not to scare anybody who's never had a C-section, it's truly not, you know, I mean, you had a major surgery, but it's very doable. But it was just one thing that I told Ben. I said, I can't, I'm going to sleep in the recliner for weeks if I can't get in and out of bed. And so I put a step stool by the bed, put a rope on the end of the bed frame, and I hoisted myself up and down every day. And then I got one of those little apparatus, like that you get a roll cane, or I'm making a motion with my hand, like everyone can see.
You know,
what is it called? They pick things up at the floor. Yes. Yes, and so I had one of those because I couldn't even put my undies on by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just, you know, and bending over was tricky.
Yeah.
Or a little bit.
Yeah.
So just things like that, if they can help someone else.
Great. And I just have a wonderful mother-in-law. This is a funny story. I'll tell you guys this funny story. Marsha, maybe you're listening and you can laugh at this. So a car seat accidentally got left in her car last week when she had the kids, and I was texting her and I was like, hey, I think Pravi's car seat's still in your car, and just can you bring it back on Thursday when you come over? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then I've been meaning to wash her car seat cover, but we never aren't using it, so I have had trouble washing this. And so I was like, Jared, do you think it'd be okay if I ask her to wash that car seat cover? And he's like, oh yeah, she won't care. So I texted her yesterday and I was like, hey, would you mind to wash that car seat cover? And she didn't respond for a while, so I was kind of like, Maybe that was too much. And then she wrote back, yep, with this, like, the disheveled emoji that's like, oh. You know? I was like, oh, no, that was too much. I was like, Jared, I don't think she wants to. So I wrote back. I was like, please do not do it. That was too much to ask. Like, sorry, I know that's gross. Don't worry about it. And she wrote back. She's like, no. She's like, that was to Kimberly because Paige forgot her swaddle blanket at my
house. Oh, no.
I would not care to do that. I was like, I know. I don't know why all the crazy things that you have helped me with, including postpartum, like this was the thing that was too much to ask to wash the car seat cover. But all that to say, my mother-in-law stays with us for a week after having a baby, and it is so helpful. Like, she just does so much. She helps with the kids, which enables Jared to help me put the underwear on. Like, you can't pull your own underwear up. There's everything after you have a C-section. So, yeah, if you do have a C-section and you have other kids, I highly recommend asking someone to stay with you for the first week so that you can have your husband help you with all the other things, because it's, you have a new baby, but you also have a patient, and then you also have other kids. It's too much for one husband to take care of.
Brandon does not get paternity leave. And my mother-in-law also came and stayed for a week, and she's a gem. I love her. She's wonderful. And she, one thing that she did that was super helpful was she just took care of Jack and June.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had the meal train from the church, which if you're looking for a way to support a mom postpartum, always bring a meal, because that's one thing that you can take off of the mom's plate or the husband's plate,
mm-hmm.
or whoever is there caring, because April was staying with us and she didn't have to think about all of the meals. She just took care of Jack and June. She took them on a little outing, and they got to go buy, like, they went on a shopping spree with my mother-in-law. It was so sweet. And again, all of the princess dresses are out, and my mother-in-law's playing dress up, and then Jack's wanting to do car stuff, and she's just all there, all of it. And it's It's such a blessing. So if you are post having children and you are a mother-in-law, or if you are just a friend who's not in that season of having children, be that person for somebody who can be there to help with the older kids or help take care of the house while the husband is helping the mom with things that she needs help with, because it was just a huge blessing to have her there to take care of all of them, because I didn't worry about them.
Yeah.
I didn't worry about what they needed. I knew they were.
You could kind of just be at peace.
I could just breathe and again, rest when I needed to rest. Yeah. Things like that.
It's surprising. So your nutrient needs are actually higher during postpartum than they are during pregnancy.
Really?
Which is,
that does not surprise me, but
it's wild.
Yeah.
Because you think like during pregnancy, you're so focused on like really making sure that you're eating good foods, taking your prenatal, like making sure that everything is good. And then you have the baby and then you're like, done. But it's not, especially, you know, if you're breastfeeding, you're still growing this baby with your body. So you really have to make sure you're getting new food. And that's just hard to do postpartum, especially if you've had a C-section, but also if you've just had a baby, period. It's just not something you're able to do. So those meal trains are super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to mention also that was really instrumental for me in feeling more normal was I knew something was off because I cried a lot and I was happy, but I was really anxious. And they offered me antidepressants at the doctor's office. And I thought, well, I don't need that. I know I'm not depressed. We're safe. Everybody's safe, but I'm so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally went to the doctor and my hormones were imbalanced, and I had finished breastfeeding and was working on nutrition, but I started taking supplements and some tinctures, and that helped a lot. And I think, unfortunately, that is something that most mainstream doctors won't even think about doing.
Checking
your hormones. Asking about your nutrition and checking hormones.
Yeah.
They want to immediately. And I know
it's much easier just
to
give you a pill.
Yes. But what I will say is before that's even brought up, I would ask for a hormone panel.
Yeah.
Check your thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
Check all of your hormones. Ask for a full panel.
Yeah. I'm glad you're saying that. I have that written down too. Thyroid is a big one.
Yes.
I had that postpartum.
Yes.
Hyperthyroid too.
And I just think nobody does that. Unless you're seeing more of a holistic doctor, they won't even bat an eye to put you on an SSRI. They try to check other things.
Yeah.
So
I think it's important too to have a Western doctor and then have a homeopathic or a chiropractor, an allergist specialist, somebody else that you can go to. Like you need the Western doctor if you break your arm, right? Or something. Like my friend was really gracious in telling me this. Well, she's a nurse practitioner, but she doesn't practice as one. Her husband, I want to say he's an anesthesiologist. So they are very medical minded in the Western medicine field. But his advice, like as a anesthesiologist, even who works in the hospital, he said, I don't go to the doctor for things like that. Like if my hormones are off, if I'm depressed or for nutrition, I go to the doctor if I need a surgery or if I broke my arm. He said, you know, if it's like I'm not feeling well, I have this issue, I'm going to go to a more homeopathic person. Also, depression medication, you are always supposed to take that alongside of counseling. Doctors don't tell you that. Pharmacists are supposed to tell you that, but a lot of times they don't. So like if you are in a drastic need, say you're suicidal or something, say you've gone through something really severe and you have PTSD and you have to get on it for a certain period of time, it is always supposed to be done with counseling. And I'll caveat that it needs to be Christian counseling,
right?
Not just any counseling.
And that would be a safeguard too in case things did get worse and you're like, what's happening? Then you have a counselor to be like, hey, okay, I don't think that medication's right.
So often though, just to be fully transparent, I was placed on medication at 6 weeks postpartum with Jack because my thoughts were just spiraling terribly. I came home one day and I told Brandon, I think you guys would be better without me. And he's like, we're going to the doctor tomorrow. And they put me on medication at that point. It did help in the way where it quieted those thoughts, but I became very robotic to the point where Brandon would have to tell me sometimes, hey, Jack is crying and needs you. But my mind, I was just so checked out. And at the time too, I was working full time. I was a special education teacher, and I was working, getting up really early in the morning, trying to get everything ready for Jack in the house and everything for the day, leaving, then I'd have meetings after school, then I'd be home right before dinner. I was kind of in that flow. And It was very much like a robotic thing. And they never once said, you need to have counseling. And the other scary part too, is they never followed up. At my 6 weeks postpartum check, they said, okay, here's your prescription. Have a good postpartum now, because this is going to fix it all. And it didn't. It made a lot of things worse. Again, it quieted some of those really scary, intense feelings. And I'm thankful that I have a husband that was responsive and was talking to me about stuff and that wanted to hear what was going on in my mind. Yeah, I'm so thankful for him. But I wish to my soul that they would have mentioned, hey, you need counseling too. But it was very much, okay, you're on this until you don't need it. There was no instructions on how to bring your body down off of that, anything like that. And then I was actually talking with you about it. I think I was 8 months postpartum. And I pointed to Jordan, by the way. There are three other women here. But I was talking to Jordan and I said, I just feel weird. I feel disconnected. I don't feel like myself. I don't like this. And you had a friend mention evening primrose oil. And you're like, it's worth a shot. It's not going to hurt anything. And so I took that. And within a few days, I was like, wow, I feel a little like I already feel better on this. And I didn't stop taking the antidepressant, because that's something that you, again, have to be very careful with. And as I, and then I, it was at that point that I went back to the doctor and said, hey, I want to be done. And they said, okay, here's your protocol. Yeah. But how scary that they didn't mention counseling. They didn't mention the right protocol for coming off of it. They didn't mention anything. And how many women, thankfully I had a community that I could go to, and I had a friend I could go to say, hey, I'm feeling weird and I need you to hear these thoughts. I need you to know what's going on. And I just need some advice. And how many women don't have that and don't have that community and are just given a prescription and sent out the door, say, hey, here, have a great postpartum.
With talking about medication and stuff, what if we, and again, with medication, there are extreme cases, but what if we treated things like sunshine, like the vitamin D aspect, nutrition, rest, movement, what if we treated those things like a medication? Right. Like, I'm going to do this every day, like I was taking a pill every day that I trust will help me. What if, even with my winter babies, I've made it a point that I sit outside in the, if it's sunny, even if it's a little overcast, I will sit outside or walk around the yard with a baby in a carrier and a hat on every day postpartum. Because for me, during C-section time, I have to move some or it hurts way worse. So we will get outside minimal, just to be in the sunshine, because it makes me feel better. I know that it does. My body longs for it. I long to be outside in the sunshine and feel the warmth on my face, even with my December and January babies. And November. I have a November and December and a January now. And a July, which he was outside a lot too. But I'm just saying, like, even in the cold months, I made it a point to sit in the sunshine. But what if we did that as a first protocol? Like, I am going to be diligent to every single day be in the sunshine, every single day making sure that I'm eating nutrient-dense food and not junk.
Yeah. And I would say even do those things, even if you feel great.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. If you feel great, do those things. He was born at the very end of November, so he was very much a winter baby, and I was just inside. And
I have the cutest picture of probably like brand new firstborn with a giant sock cap on looking up at me in my carrier. And when we're outside, I'll have to post it.
It's easier to be outside. Like, I only have one kid, but I remember even like our hard days when she's struggling a little bit or I'm struggling a little bit, just going outside. We're well past babyhood. But just, it resets you, just as a person. It gives you,
it's almost like God created
us
to be in nature.
Crazy.
Almost like we're supposed to have that in our life.
We need way more time outside than what we get right in culture. Also, I want to say too, if you are struggling with depression or anxiety postpartum, which is very, very, very common, and I think too many women don't expect to feel some sort of, you're going to have an emotional shift and you're going to have highs and lows, even if you don't have postpartum depression or anxiety. But even outside of postpartum, I think it's good to ask ourselves the question, why am I feeling like this? Because that can tell you, okay, maybe there is a health issue going on. Okay, maybe you have something wrong with you. Like, you know, before my father-in-law got diagnosed with cancer, he did not feel right in his mind, you know, like things were off there. And then also maybe you're pushing yourself too far. Maybe you feel anxious. Maybe you feel postpartum depression because you're forcing yourself back into the workforce when you should be taking that time to rest with your baby. Maybe you're trying to do too much at home. Maybe you're wearing too many hats. Again, so many of you have mentioned this. It's a season. And I think we think, oh, well, this season and it's just changed everything. Yes, that baby has changed your whole world, but I promise it will keep changing and it won't be how it is in those first few weeks, those first 3 months, those first 6 months. It just is a continuous process of change. But I don't think we often enough ask, why am I feeling this way? Is it a sin issue? Is it a health issue? Because if you can pinpoint it, then a lot of times you actually can find a fix. And I do think a lot of times we do need a fix and we do want a fix. There obviously is just times too where we just have to put up our hands and trust the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. And that's where he sanctifies us. But a lot of times you can pinpoint it also.
Yeah. What a great point. Listen, mm-hmm. listen to your body and the cues it is giving you. Anything else, guys?
You mentioned the evening primrose oil. I took that too, and it was helpful. There's also a Progressence Plus oil that you can get with Young Living, and it's like a bio-identical progesterone, so it can help kind of balance some of that. And then enzymes, like I'm on enzyme therapy right now for some health issues. That really helps me as far as feeling like just calmer. And then I had a lot of issues with breastfeeding. I get chronic mastitis, and sunflower lecithin helped a lot. I actually could not breastfeed my last baby, my fourth, just because it got that bad. But with my other three, I used that, and it was a huge help. So, and you guys mentioned like postnatal supplements. I think if you can just look for something whole food, like,
yeah,
I know Jordan took, I know you used to do like the Juice Plus smoothies. I've always done those on and off, and they have like an omega now, and I take the capsules now. That's also like a good way to stay off of stool softeners because they naturally keep your like fiber and digestive system going. So those are just some like supplements and things that may help if you're like, I don't even know where to start kind of deal. Those are some things to maybe
look into. I took Shilajit this postpartum and it made me feel awesome. So I highly recommend that. It's basically just like a huge multi-mineral. It's things that are found in the mountains of a certain country. I'm not even kidding, but it's basically just a highly potent multi-mineral. And it gave me so much energy and made me feel wonderful because it was replenishing those mineral stores that had been so depleted from pregnancy. So I will add Shilajit to your list.
One other thing I wanted to mention, this is random, and I probably could have fit it in somewhere else, but maybe if you're feeling weird down there, your abs feel strained.
Something's going on. Can you use more words?
Yeah,
that are out there.
I'll make floor there.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think most women could benefit from it,
mm-hmm.
and most women don't get evaluated for it.
Yeah, agreed.
And so your abs are going to be weak no matter whether you push that baby out or you got cut open, had your baby that way, and you're just weak. It's weak. Mm-hmm. Your abs are weak. Your organs not pushed around. It's settling. Your hips probably are a little funky. And if your insurance covers it, especially, get evaluated.
I did that.
Mm-hmm. It's so helpful.
Yeah. I did pelvic floor physical therapy. I think I talked about it in another episode before, but I have diastasis recti, however you say it. And I went for that and it was really helpful. Nourish Move Love is another I use their YouTube for postpartum core recovery. I think that's all I have to say. I mean, I could keep talking about this for a long time, I feel like.
I probably do like a whole series.
Yeah.
Postpartum.
You know what else I took one time was Ningxia from Young Living?
Oh, yeah.
I was a fan of that. Have you ever used that, Bree?
No, I haven't actually used that.
You know the red juice from Young Living?
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
How did you see that?
I say Ningxia. You probably say it some other way different way, though. What do you say?
I say things different. Yeah, I have. I honestly don't remember how I say it. It's been a long time since I've taken that, but it's not like that. I'm trying to think how it's spelled. Ningxia.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting research around that and like health benefits of taking it during pregnancy and postpartum, but it's great for iron levels and things like that. So energy.
Yeah, I love that, actually. Yeah. That's really a great alternative for like, you know, coffee and caffeinated beverages that you might not be able to handle.
And they have, I remember they have a really big sale around Black Friday. So it's a little expensive, but I got it on a good deal on Black Friday. All right, cool. Well, there's a bunch of thoughts about postpartum. Hope it's helpful. And until next time.
Hey, everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.